Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Now, whether it was March 25th or maybe it's tomorrow, March 31st, we want to know, how can you possibly make the most of your pay packet whenever you get paid? Maybe it's bi-weekly, maybe it's once a month. Paul Merriman, who's the CEO of Fairstone and founder of Ask Paul, is with me in studio to tell us, how do we stop the impulse spending? Paul, what's your advice? Do we get paid?
Get paid, have a plan, yeah. Andrew. It's that simple. But be very careful. There's a lot of commentary out there and a lot online about what people should do with their salary. There's this kind of 50-30-20 rule where you put 50% towards your kind of essentials, 30% to lifestyle, 20% to savings. I hate these things because, you know, we've done tens of thousands of financial plans for people and everyone's different. And I think those type of things put pressure on people. But there's a lot of people out there paying way more than, you know, maybe even 50% of their income on rent, for argument's sake. And there's a lot of people there that can't afford to save. And there's also people at different age demographics. Like if you're in your 60s and you're pulling down your income for retirement, you don't want to be saving. You want to be spending and having a really good quality of life. If you're someone in your 30s trying to get on the property ladder, you probably want to pare back on the, you know, the lifestyle piece and save more to get on the property ladder. So I think it depends on where you are in your life and what your overall financial goals are. So what's your short, medium and long term goals? But so I think all those things you see online, they're a bit nonsensical. So I don't believe in the kind of the strictness of them. They're there as a guide, to be fair, but I wouldn't get too caught up in them. What you need to do is get paid and then pay your bills first. So usually your rent, your mortgage, your utilities, your broadband, whatever you have going out. Try to get it
all on the first of the month.
On the first of the month. Or if you get paid on the 25th, make it the 26th or the 27th.
Yeah, I know. I need to change that.
It's so easy to do with all these. Okay, it takes a little bit of time. But if you can do that, you're going to be in good position. Because what's going to stop happening is the misdirect debits or that kind of paranoia checking your banking app on the 17th or the 24th or whatever you have something going out on. So number one, you're trying to release the pressure valve that comes with kind of money anxiety. If you have everything going out today after payday, you're going to be sorted. Everything's gone. All you have left is what you can spend or save. And to be honest, you should have a kind of emergency plan put aside, maybe a minimum of €1,000 in savings. If you have nothing to save for, and I know this might sound ludicrous, spend the money and spend it guilt-free. If you have something to save for, like a deposit for a house, a wedding, a holiday, you know, just put the money aside. Well, that's the emergency fund, the minimum of €1,000 put aside somewhere. So some people might have 1,000 to 5,000 put aside. If you're self-employed, you need a bit bigger if it's only you and your own, because you know, at least if you work for somebody, you might get a few days sick pay or something. But self-employed, you need a little bit more of a rainy day fund. But once your rainy day fund is in place, that's you about enjoying your money and enjoying it, whether it's spending it or if you have a plan that you're going away next year or you're going to take time off for maternity leave or you're saving for a deposit for a house or you're close to retirement age, you want to put more into the pension plan. That's when you kind of look at what you want to save on a monthly basis. I think what happens too much for people with personal finance is that they're kind of subscribing to rules that doesn't suit their quality of life, and therefore they get quite annoyed with their own personal finances and they're always running around. So just having a very basic plan of what you want to happen over the next 12 months, maybe 3 to 5 years, and then 5 years plus, like a longer term goal. But if you don't have any goals, in particular, like as in big goals, like the saving for a house, they're the typical things in their 30s, saving for properties, getting married and various different things. If you haven't got them coming up, it's absolutely okay to reduce your savings down to maybe 10% or less and just spend your money and having a good time.
Yeah, enjoy it.
And yeah, it's important that spending, you might have short-term savings in there that, you know, I'm going to spend money in 2 months' time or 3 months' time on a wedding or a stag's party, hen's party, or I'm going to go away with the family. Like, anything that happens in the next 12 months, okay, they're technically savings put aside, but you're spending them so quickly, they don't really qualify for, you know, getting interest on them too much, or kind of they're not really part of a strategic plan because it's going to be gone the next 12 months.
We'll come to some of the listener questions, Paul, in a moment. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. You can send us in your voice notes. Tell me about the concept of paying yourself first.
Yeah, paying yourself first is about, people will use this to say, invest in yourself in the future, put more money into your pension, that you work really hard, you deserve to pay yourself first. It's a term that people have used to get people basically to invest more for the future and to put more money aside for you and future you. Again, it makes sense to do that, but only if you have a plan. You know, if you're, again, the big goals here that people usually have are, I keep repeating them, but they're usually retire early, getting on the property ladder or paying down the mortgage if you're in a lucky enough position, maybe weddings, kids' education funds. Like if you write down what your goals are, you know, do you have to rebrand it as paying yourself first to put a savings account for your kids' education? No, it's just the kids' education plan.
Yeah.
Do you have to pay yourself first by putting more into your company AVCs and your pensions with an AVC? No. So they're kind of terminologies that people use to psychologically get people geared up to just put money aside for the future. And this is where kind of spreadsheet advisors or content creators around financial planners, a lot of content creators out there talking about finance, but they've no qualifications or no experience. And they come up with these buzzwords like pay yourself worse than payday. Yeah. But it's just savings for the future. So whether it's 3 month savings or 2 year savings, there's a big buzz in the industry now about savings, which is great. And investing, especially coming our way. It looks like the SSEA types still might be coming out in the next couple of years, which is great news. So putting money aside for future you is great, but it really only works if you have a plan, if you have a goal. Like the pensions, the obvious one because people are quite early.
Is that it's kind of an Irish mentality, or is it just the way we think? Like a lot of our listeners talking about the rainy day fund, and they thought that you should really have more in it than what you're suggesting.
The minimum is €1,000. I'd recommend some clients will have 10,000, 15,000. Again, depends on overall circumstances. But also, if you look at the rainy day fund, the biggest thing to have besides a rainy day fund is what's called an income protection plan. Income protection is vitally important because income protection will cover up to 75% of your salary, along with estate benefits if you become unable to work due to accident, sickness, illness, etc. And that's usually what people's biggest rainy day issue is going to be. The other thing has come down to very simple things like cars breaking down, fridges, you know, something going wrong with a window, kids breaking, something simple. And they're usually the 1,000 to 5,000 euro range. Anything after that 5,000 euro is a big problem, and it's usually down to health or maybe redundancy. A lot of people that get redundancy usually comes with a redundancy package to survive on. So you got to be, you know, and this again comes down to knowing your figures and knowing your finance, especially if you're in a relationship with somebody that has a PAYE job, that has a company pension, an income protection plan, and what's called debt and service life cover in place, which most corporates will have, versus someone who's self-employed that has nothing. They're going to need way more structured for the self-employed person because they are their employer. So they need to put in the pension, the income protection, the debt and service
themselves.
Build
it all into it.
So although the emergency fund is really important, I'm not trying to downplay it at all.
Yeah.
I'm saying a minimum of 1,000 to 5 and then maybe, more depending on your circumstances.
Right. Listeners wondering, what's the best way to save money for a child? Is it a post office account, credit union, or should I open a bank account?
All three are pointless. You're looking to invest that money. You need to set up an investment account because they all have little or no interest and you're not going to beat inflation. So inflation across the EU is around 2% at the moment. None of those accounts that they've mentioned will give you anything near 2%. So
but
you're
they
not
probably
going to
mean,
beat inflation.
I presume they mean they want an account that maybe they can access for the child.
They do.
They
so
draw,
if you've got a child
from.
Going to college in the next couple of years, they're fine. If you've got a newborn or anyone like even under 6 or 7, or you're looking at third level education, anything over a 5 year play needs to be invested. You're going to really outperform those accounts, especially over anything like a 10 year period. Historically, investment accounts like linked to the stock market will outperform all those accounts. So you need to give those kind of children's accounts or investment accounts for kids for like college education, etc. You need to give them the best chance to have as much money in as possible. But yeah, you can't be saving money for 10, 15 years if you're recycling, say, the children's allowance. If you're recycling that into the credit union on post, your money's devaluing because inflation's 2 and you're getting practically 0.
Paul, are you better to have several savings accounts or all in the one? Where's best to save at the moment? I have one current account and one saving account, both with the same bank.
Yeah, okay. So you're better off going, in my opinion, to Raisin.ie. That's R-A-I-S-I-N. That's a kind of European platform, Andrew, that gives you access to European banks, and they're giving way more interest than Irish banks are. Irish banks, you know, have 180 odd billion sitting there, nowhere near the inflationary rate of 2%, practically 0 overnight accounts, 0% that is. So you need to move your money somewhere like Raisin. So Raisin has the same €100,000 capital guarantee. They've got 29 or 30 banks to choose from. And you're getting well over 2.6% there. So that's a really good place to look.
And maybe people that might be concerned about, you know, investing in
They have the same European guarantee up to €100,000. So they shouldn't really be concerned. What you should be concerned about is your money devaluing on a yearly basis, like that 180 billion. Like Irish banks are completely ripping off by taking interest off customers when they lend it out. But also, when you look at what happened during the kind of inflationary pressure from 2022 onwards, Irish banks were getting more off the European Central Bank and they're giving 0 of that practically back to the consumer. So they were just keeping on their balance sheets. So, you know, you work really hard for this money. You pay a lot of income tax into society. You owe it to your hard-earned cash to at least beat inflation at 2%. Otherwise, it's literally walking backwards.
What about when relatives give children money for birthdays, Holy Communion, confirmation, etc.? Where is the child best to save that? Texts are wondering.
Well, okay, so what the parents can do in that situation, you can set up what's called a bear trust. And a bear trust means that you can invest on the child's behalf and it will become the child's account once they reach 18 years of age. Usually the parents will go down as the names as a trustee on the bear trust. So all those monies goes into the bear trust account, gets invested, and the child has access from 18 years of age. That's a really good option of investing. But if it's kind of that kind of birthday money, it is important when we're teaching kids about money. Kids have their kind of saving habits developed by 7 years of age from their peers. It's important that you kind of let them spend a bit of money and put a bit of money aside. And, you know, some kids, they don't get, adults that don't get 10 years away or 5 years away, never mind children. So you wouldn't usually tell the kids about all that money. You might say, there's, you got 50 euro, there's 20 euro to buy something. And then the 30 euro goes into an account. And technically, it should be an investment account for long term. A lot of people use the credit union for that type of stuff as well. The big thing around this is whether what you want to happen to that kid's money. So do you want to give them access from 18 years of age? Do you want to pay for a college education fund? Or do you want to give it to them when they're maybe 30, 35 for a deposit for a house? So there's loads of different tax structures around this as well to make sure that's set up correctly. So whether it's going to the child or whether the parents are going to use the money for the benefit of the child, like as in third level education, etc. So it gets quite technical when it comes to children and what to do for them. But again, just for listeners to remember, that the big rule for any type of financial planning is you need to beat inflation at 2% with your savings, whether it's for a child or whether it's for yourself. Irish banks just don't do that.
Plenty to try and get our head around. Paul Merriman, CEO of Fairstone, founder of Ask Paul. Paul, thanks a million for joining us here on the programme today.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.